ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कृष्ण एक आत्मा दुई देह द्वरी अन्योन्ये विलासे रास आस्वादन करी।
Radha and Krishna are one and the same, but they have assumed two bodies. Thus they enjoy each other, tasting the mellows of love. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The two transcendentalists, Radha and Krishna, are a puzzle to materialists. The above description of Radha Krishna from the diary of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami is a condensed explanation, but one needs great spiritual insight to understand the mystery of these two personalities. One is enjoying in two. Sri Krishna is the potent factor, and Srimati Radharani is the internal potency. According to the Vedanta philosophy, there is no difference between the potent and the potency. They are identical. We cannot differentiate between one and the other any more than we can separate heat from fire. Everything in the absolute is inconceivable in relative existence. Therefore, in relative cognizance, it is very difficult to assimilate the truth of the oneness between the potent and the potency. The philosophy of inconceivable oneness and difference propounded by Lord Chaitanya is the only source of understanding for such intricacies of transcendence. In fact, Radharani is the internal potency of Sri Krishna, and she eternally intensifies the pleasure of Sri Krishna. Impersonalists cannot understand this without the help of a Mahabhagavat devotee. The very name Radha suggests that Srimati Radharani is eternally the topmost mistress of the comforts of Sri Krishna. As such, she is the medium transmitting the living entity's service to Sri Krishna. Devotees in Vrindavan therefore seek the mercy of Srimati Radharani in order to be recognized as loving servitors of Sri Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally approaches the fallen conditioned souls of the Iron Age to deliver the highest principle of transcendental relationships with the Lord. The activities of Lord Chaitanya are primarily in the role of the pleasure-giving portion of His internal potency. The Absolute Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the omnipotent form of transcendental existence, knowledge, and bliss in full. His internal potency is exhibited first as Sat, or existence, or in other words, as the portion that expands the existence function of the Lord. When the same potency displays full knowledge, it is called chit or samvit, which expands the transcendental forms of the Lord. Finally, when the same potency plays as a pleasure-giving medium, it is known as sladini, or the transcendental blissful potency. Thus the Lord manifests His internal potency in three transcendental divisions. This verse by Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is so beautifully manifested in the fourth chapter of the Adi Lila
of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Today, being the most holy occasion of Sri Radhastami, for the pleasure of our Gurudev Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas, something will be spoken. The absolute truth is one. However, we understand through Vaishnava philosophy the infinite variegatedness of the absolute truth. The Lord has three primary energies: the inferior or material energy, which is the Bahiranga Shakti, and then there is the spiritual energy, and there is the living entities, the Jivatmas, who are eternally parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The nature of the Jivatma is we are of the same quality as Krishna, but infinitesimal in quantity. We are spiritual by substance, and therefore we are always subordinate to Krishna. This is the first teaching that Lord Chaitanya gave to Sanatana Goswami. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnara Nityadas. That we are eternal servants of Krishna. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananim Eko Bahunam Yobadadati Kaman. The difference between the impersonalists and the Vaishnavas is this principle. The Vaishnavas understand the higher truth that we are always subordinate to Krishna. We can never be independent from Krishna. We can never become Krishna. The perfection of our lives is to serve Krishna in a pure natural position, which is the position of pure love. And who is Krishna? Aham sarvasya prabhavam atta sarvam pravartate. He is the source of everything that exists. All material and spiritual worlds emanate from Krishna. Lord Brahma, the original father and guru of our universe, he has proclaimed in Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraham Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Every living entity has some capacity to be an Ishvara, to be a controller and enjoyer, because we are part of Krishna. But Krishna is Parameshwara. He is the supreme controller of all controllers. And he is Satchidananda Vigraha. He is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. He's the cause of all causes and the ultimate goal of everyone's life. So here, Srila Prabhupada is explaining in this beautiful purport that Krishna is Satchidananda, eternal, full of knowledge, and full of bliss. In the spiritual world, there are three primary energies corresponding to these principles. The sat feature is manifested as the sandini potency of the Lord. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami beautifully explains in such simple words how these energy, the purpose of these energies. Sandini is that energy that facilitates the Lord's existence and the existence of all living entities and the entire spiritual world. It sustains the existence of Krishna, the living entities, and all that exists. Samvit is that energy in which Krishna knows himself and which causes all living entities the ability to know Krishna. And the Ananda Shakti, or the Swarup Shakti, the Dini Shakti, is that energy which gives Krishna supreme eternal happiness, and which also facilitates all living entities to experience eternal happiness. It is explained, natasya karyam. Krishna really has nothing to do. Srila Prabhupada explains that when you're a really big person, you designate all duties to others. Yes? Krishna has so much time. This material world, he expands himself. There's Balaram, then there's the Chatur Byuha of Prajumana, Aniruddha, Vasudeva, and Shankarshan. From Shankarshan comes Narayan. And then from Narayan is a secondary Chatur Byuha. And then we have the Mahavishnu, Karuna Dakshay Vishnu, Garbo Dakshay Vishnu, Kshiro Dakshay Vishnu. And as far as the material universe is concerned, just this planary portion of an expansion of Mahavishnu, he creates the whole universe when he's sleeping. Yoga Nidra. He simply exhales and all universes emanate from him. Then he inhales and they come in. Destruction of the universal creation. Simply by his glance, he impregnates the entire material nature with all living entities. Mother Nature. And Krishna is Aham Bija Pratapita. He is the Supreme Father. So what does he really have to do with material nature? He never even touches it. He just glances at it. That's as close as he comes. Yes? And then Krishna manifests the demigods. And factually, he empowers the various devatas to perform all the various intricate technical responsibilities of creation. And in the spiritual worlds, by his potencies of Sandini and Samvit, everything is happening. So Krishna really doesn't have anything he has to do. It's all done by his various energies and representatives of his energies. So Srila Prabhupada explains it in so nice way that actually Krishna's eternal and only pastime in the spiritual world is to enjoy. He is the supreme enjoyer. And because we are part and parcel of Krishna, that's why we have such a great need to enjoy. Is there any living entity from the insignificant Indragopa to the greatest of the devatas, everyone is looking for enjoyment. Everyone is seeking pleasure because we're part and parcel of Krishna. We actually can't live without pleasure. But we, because in this material world, in our conditioned state, we have to work so hard to try to facilitate pleasure. Yes? Look what people are doing. Working so many jobs. So many pressures, so many aggravations, having to deal with people that you can't even tolerate. So many problems and obstacles of the health and envious people and our own lack of experience and expertise. We're constantly battling in this world to find some enjoyment. And we're thinking that family life will give us enjoyment. Yes? Is that not why people get married? I don't know exactly, but that's what I have heard. People get married because they want enjoyment. They want security. They want husband, wife, children, and so many other, with the hope of enjoyment. But what a hard struggle for existence it is. It's not easy. Having a family means you have to maintain, you have to protect, you have to pay the bills, you have to get food, you have to deal with insubmissive, insubordinate people who you want to control, but you just can't. Hard struggle for existence. Yes? Sometimes families are separated where the husband has to go 1,000 miles away just to make a little extra money. Yes? And they're supposed to be enjoying. But Krishna, natasya karyam, he doesn't have to do any of these things. So how does Krishna enjoy? That is the subject of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And that is the subject of Srimad Bhagavatam. How does Krishna enjoy? When Krishna wants to enjoy, he ultimately manifests his own Kladini Shakti, also called Swarup Shakti, his pleasure potency. And that manifestation of Krishna's own internal pleasure potency is Srimati Radharani. She is the supreme source of all Krishna's happiness. So here in Swarup Damodar Goswami explains that the absolute truth is one, but that one truth becomes two for the sake of transcendental happiness. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikratir Ladini Shaktirasma Ekatman Bhavi Bhuvibhava Deha Vidam Gatao Tao Chaitanyakyam Prakatam Adunathadvayam Chaikyam Aptam Radha Bhava Duti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. The One Supreme assumes two forms as Radha and Krishna to engage in eternal, transcendental pastimes of love. Only those who are blessed with the instructions of spiritual masters in proper parampara can understand the proper principles of Radha and Krishna's identities. Swarup Damodar Goswami explains how they are transcendental. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that in the love of Krishna and his pure devotees, there is no tinge of selfishness. This material world, people actually become so frustrated by their attempts to enjoy. In fact, Bhagavad Gita tells us very openly that the pleasures of this world are the sources of all pain. And Prahlad Maharaj tells, if you want to be happy, there's only one way. You have to stop trying to be happy in this world. Because dukkhalayam ashashvatam, everything is temporary. Therefore, all pursuits of happiness culminate in distress. Like a coin, there's the head and the tail. Cannot separate them. Happiness and distress, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, they are inseparable. So trying to be happy in this world is the greatest illusion. But how this Bahiranga Shakti or Mahamaya is so powerful that practically every living entity within the universal creation is struggling and striving so much for this temporary material happiness. And Srila Prabhupada was amazed when he came to the West, when he told people that you're not this body, you're an eternal soul, and sense gratification is the path of spiritual death. And he taught people the virtues of tapasya, actually restraining the mind and the senses from the infatuation of material pleasure to fix them on the loving service of the Lord. People of the West were outraged with this idea. They labeled his movement a dangerous cult, because it's teaching that everything the whole world believes is sacred, which is selfish, egoistic pleasure, Prabhupada is saying it's an illusion. We should renounce it. Hare Krishna. There's that famous lecture where Prabhupada said, and when we take over the world, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, so many no's, the demons will die. How could we live without these things? And actually, even in India, it's becoming like this. Although there's such a great heritage of acharyas and sadhus and saints who have renounced everything, either for self-realization in the impersonalistic school or for the eternal loving service of the Lord, still, when we teach these principles that material sense gratification is simply the cheating of Maya. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, it's the world of cheaters and cheated. Maya is that power that empowers everyone to be cheating each other by promising happiness through material enjoyment. But enjoyment we must find, because that is our nature. So, where is the origin of that? Here it is explained that the origin is
in the loving relation of Radha and Krishna. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and Srimati Radharani is the supreme enjoyed. Krishna is the supreme predominator, and Sri Radhika is the supreme predominated. There is no difference between the energy and the energetic. Krishna is the Shaktiman. Radharani is the Shakti. Just as there is no difference between fire and heat, the sun and light, or musk and its fragrance, there is no difference between Radha and Krishna. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a beautiful explanation wherein Krishna is revealing his own heart to the world through the medium of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. He is explaining that he is the Vishaya Vigraha. That means he is the object of enjoyment. And as the object of, as the supreme object of all love, he is Akila Rasamrita Murti. He is the form of all ecstatic pleasures of loving relationships. He is Atmaram. He is completely self-satisfied. He is Ram, the reservoir of all pleasure. He is Krishna, the source of everyone's attraction. Therefore, Krishna's transcendental happiness is unlimited. Srimati Radharani is the Ashraya Vigraha. She is the abode of love. And Krishna is meditating that I am the Vishai, I am the object of love. Srimati Radharani is the Ashray, the abode of love. But I find in her love it is incomprehensible to me. That is Krishna's meditation. That Srimati Radharani enjoys 10 million times more pleasure than I'm able to conceive of myself. What is the nature of that love? He wants to experience it. Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations. From him all jivatmas have emanated. And as far as Vishnu Tattva, he expands himself through his portions and plenary portions and various avatars as Ram and Narayan and so many other forms. In a similar way, Srimati Radharani is the fountainhead, original source of all the Lord's consorts. It is from Srimati Radharani that Sita and Lakshmi have appeared within the spiritual world. Kaviraj Goswami declares how the goddesses of fortune are partial manifestations of Srimati Radharani. and the queens of Dwarka are reflections of Srimati Radharani. And the gopis of Vrindavan, they are intimate expansions of Srimati Radharani. Now, to understand the love of the gopis of Vrindavan is to understand the highest truth. First of all, we must understand the definition of love. There's kama and there is prema. Kama is selfish desire. As soon as we want something for ourselves, we are victim of kama. And we should be honest of our fallen condition. If we want any prestige, any glorification, any type of sense gratification, that is kama. The English translation of kama is mundane lust. Prema is unselfish expression of our propensity to love, where there is not even a single tinge of selfish desire. That is prema. The example is given of iron and gold. They are both metals, but the quality is altogether different. Iron is a very cheap, low-grade type of metal. And gold is the most priceless metal there is. So similarly, this spirit of enjoyment is within the heart of every living being. But spiritual enjoyment is when our whole life is, our whole consciousness is in the spirit of being enjoyed. The gopis, in their pure selfless love, only want to be enjoyed by Krishna. They want nothing for themselves. Absolutely nothing for themselves. That is love. Total giving, total sacrifice, total surrender of one's heart to be an object of pleasure for the object of your love. In this world of death, to some shadow of an extent, we can see this type of selfless love in a parent for a small child. Really, the child can't do much of anything for the parent. The child really doesn't reciprocate when they're babies. And the way they do reciprocate is, I don't know. But selfless love. But because it's on the bodily platform, it's imperfect. But when that selfless love is on the spiritual platform, the platform of truth and reality, of our true identity, then our love expresses as an offering of our body, our mind, our words, and our very lives for the pleasure of Krishna. Pure love of the soul can only be directed toward Krishna or his various expansions. Gopis the perfection of their love is extolled, especially in Srimad Bhagavatam. We find that in this world, when we become frustrated by the endless miseries that come through trying to be an enjoyer, some people aspire for liberation. They want to enter into that state of Brahman realization, where they experience directly that they're not this body, that they are pure spirit. But in that state of Brahman realization, there is no ananda. There is no love. There is no real pleasure. There is simply relief from material bondage. Beyond that can only be attained through the path of bhakti. Bhakti means cultivating the constitutional nature of our very existence. We are eternal servants of Krishna. Within our heart is love of Krishna. To cultivate that love through the process of devotional service. There are 9 processes of devotional service. Saravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranabandhanam, Padasevana Dasyare, Pujana Sakijana Atma Nivedana. Beginning with hearing about Krishna, chanting the glories of Krishna, remembering Krishna. These 9 processes of devotional service have the power to attract Krishna's mercy. And as we attract Krishna's mercy, Krishna awakens within our heart our spiritual propensities. Adoshatata sadhu sanguta bhajanakriya tato nartana vritti satato nishta ruchistata. Rupa Goswami explains how this process of bhakti works. Due to some previous sukriti, either knowing or unknowing devotional service that we have rendered, faith is within our heart. When that faith awakens, then Krishna, who is Paramatma, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridesha Arjuna Tishtiti, he directs us by his causeless mercy to the association of devotees. In that association, we learn the science of Krishna consciousness. As our faith develops more, then we accept a spiritual master and take vows of commitment. And under the training of the spiritual master, Vande Gurum Isha Bhaktam Isham Ishavatarakam, both the Shiksha Guru and the Diksha Guru, who are all empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead through Parampara, then we begin to practice Bhajana Kriya. In the beginning, we practice Vaidhi Bhakti, which means we follow rules and regulations because we do not have a spontaneous taste for Krishna consciousness. We still have too much desire for sense gratification, so many distractions. So a devotee should take a very humble position and be honest. The worst thing a devotee could do for his or her own spiritual life is think that we're more advanced than we are. If we think we're advanced, we're not going to advance properly. Thus, we see by the example of the greatest, most advanced people, they don't think that they're advanced at all. They consider themselves lower than straw in the street, lower than worms in stool, more fallen than Jagai and Madhai, most fallen in the entire universal creation. Patita pavan hetu tava avatara, mosamo patita prabhu napai gayara. We sing this song, but meditate. This is Narottam Das Thakur singing. He's descended from Goloka Vrindavan. When he was just a little tiny boy, he sees Lord Chaitanya. His dark complexion becomes gold because he's embraced by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya's love is invested within his heart. Hare Krishna. And he's speaking like this. My Lord, you are Patita Pavan. You are the most merciful, especially to the most fallen. So by this criterion, my claim should be first. Because in the whole universe, no one is more fallen than me. So this is the way devotees feel. As we actually make advancement, our false ego is purified. And we become more and more and more humble. We consider ourselves more insignificant. Prabhupada's our founder Acharya, and he's calling himself before God, your insignificant beggar. Now if Prabhupada feels himself an insignificant beggar, how should we feel? Hare Krishna. Yet we feel we're so significant. Why? Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Ahankara vimudatma karta hamiti manyate. Vimudatma, that's why. Because we're mudas. We're fools. We're bewildered. We think we're the doer of activities. We think because a few people are having faith in what I say, I'm advanced. Or because I do a kirtan and everybody's clapping and happy, I'm advanced. Or because I know slokas and I can speak nice philosophy and so many hundreds of people are staying awake in my class, I'm advanced. Or we're thinking because when I see the deity, tears come from my eyes and I feel so much attraction, therefore I'm advanced. But if we're actually making advancement, we'll understand the desperate need we have to take shelter of Guru, of Vaishnavas, and of the process of devotional service. Arjuna, when he actually manifested his state of being receptive for mercy, considered himself completely bewildered. Yes? Karapanyadosopahatasvapapa. I don't know what to do, Krishna. Please instruct me. So Prabhupada explains, if this is not our attitude when we approach the spiritual master, then how much can we learn? Prabhupada explained, we should never come before the spiritual masters to show how great we are. We should come to show how fallen we are. Then we can be actually receptive to mercy. We present what we have done for the pleasure of Guru and the Vaishnavas, but not to take credit, not to show off, not to be respected. In all circumstances on bhakti, our realizations develop according to how we are trying to be enjoyed rather than enjoying.
This is a very high subject matter. We have to be very honest.
So many times we try to enjoy the fruits of our devotional service.
Yes?
Of course, carry on with your devotional service. But have the proper understanding of what we should aspire for. So therefore, Vaidhi Bhakti, devotional service under regulative principles, is for those who still have this enjoying spirit, who actually need to follow rules and regulations in order to remain steady and moral in their devotional life. That is the first part of sadhana bhakti. Second part is there is Vaidhi bhakti and there is Raghunuga bhakti. Where we actually develop that faith to such an extent, very, very nishta, after anartha nivritti, after so many of the unwanted elements of the heart are removed through our hearing and chanting and following disciplines, then what happens is our faith becomes very, very strong. And then we have a spontaneous desire, spontaneous aspiration for devotional service. And we should understand, to the degree we still have longings for gross and subtle sense gratification, our devotional service is not really spontaneous. So we must develop this eagerness, this very great eagerness, as our material fever goes down. The lobha, the greed to hear and chant and surrender for the pleasure of Krishna grows within our heart. From nishta there is ruchi, that higher taste, param drisva nivartate, where we really just don't care anything for material enjoyment anymore. There may be some shadows of some disturbances in our mind and senses, but they become relatively insignificant. That leads us to atashakti, very, very deep attachment to Krishna, an attachment to the process of Krishna consciousness, an attachment to the service of the Vaishnavas and Guru. And gradually that becomes purified into bhava, and then prema, love and pure love. So this is the science on the path of bhakti. And if we try to artificially jump to a status beyond our own realization, we create impediment to the natural growth of our devotional service. And that is why Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada have so carefully explained the step-by-step process of purification. And what is all important, especially in the beginning stages, what is all important is developing a very intensely serious service attitude. And cultivating that service attitude. And service attitude means unconditional. Not the I will do this service because it is aristocratic according to my stature. I will be a preacher. I'll stoop down to be a temple president. But cleaning the floor or the toilet? No, I will not do that. It's not service attitude. Yes, we should dovetail our propensities in Krishna service, but ultimately we should be willing to do anything. Menial service. Narottam Das Thakur was a prince from a fabulously wealthy family. He was learned in the Shastras, so learned. But he was very grateful to clean the stool and urine of his Gurudev, Lokanath Swami. And he had that same attitude toward all the Vaishnavas. That is service attitude. And as we're developing our service attitude, in proportion, Shushushoshadatanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Shirtitana Sevan. As we develop this service attitude, then we actually develop a higher and higher taste for hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting His names. When Krishna sees that we're really happy, we're really finding happiness hearing His glories and chanting His praise, He becomes pleased within our heart. But that state of consciousness can only come when we are very deeply immersed in a humble, menial service disposition. There's no other way. Thus, Srila Prabhupada taught us we should be very, very eager to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and to speak these subjects about Krishna. And we should be very, very eager to chant the holy names, our at least 16 rounds in japa, at least. And very eager for bhajan and Harinam Kirtan with the Vaishnavas. But He also gave us so many services to perform and taught us in the performance of devotional service, every other Vaishnava is Prabhu and I am Das, Das, Anu, Das. We call every other devotee Prabhu. Gaur Gopal Prabhu. Ananda Vrindavan Prabhu. But we never call ourselves Prabhu. That's ludicrous, isn't it? If Braj Bihari Prabhu, what is your name? If he were to say, my name is Braj Bihari Prabhu, he would think, something's wrong with this person. He will say, Braj Bihari Das. Yes, but he'll call everyone else Prabhu, Govinda Prabhu, Sundarsham Prabhu, Radhesham Prabhu. So this is how we develop our service, by understanding that all other Vaishnavas are my master and I am the servant. And with this spirit cultivating in our heart, then yes, Krishna will be very happy. He will be happy to see our attention in hearing His glories and chanting His names. And then we develop this higher taste. Ramananda Rai, in his discussion with Lord Chaitanya, was discussing various levels of development in bhakti. Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Rai, what is the essence of perfection? Ramananda Rai said, to develop attachment to Krishna through following the principles of Varnashram Dharma. And Lord Chaitanya rejected. So that is external. Tell me something more. He said, Yat karoshi rashnasi yajdohoshi tadasyat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat karushama dharapanam. to offer whatever we do, to offer the fruits of our activities to Krishna, that is the essence of perfection. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Lord Chaitanya said, that is external. Tell me something more. Sarvatharman Puratyasya, Mame Kam Sharanam Braja, Antvam Sarva Papivyo Moksha Isha Mimasitra. To abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to Krishna. Lord Chaitanya said, tell me something more. Devotional service mixed with empiric knowledge. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Sochati Nakankshati. Then you can attain real peace. Lord Chaitanya said, that is external, I reject it. Tell me something more. Devotional service without any tinge of mixture with empiric knowledge or any desire for fruitive activities or mystic powers or anything else, that is the essence of perfection. Lord Chaitanya said, that is all right, but tell me something more. And then he entered into the various realms of devotional service. He described devotional service in neutrality as the essence of perfection. Shantaras. In a complete state of pure, unconditional service. Now the state of Shanta, without being mixed with the higher rasas, can also be the state of Brahman, impersonal liberation. In Vrindavan, even Shantaras is always mixed with the Madhurya Ras, which is the all-pervading consciousness of the Holy Land. So in Shantaras, the servant of Krishna. Actually, Lord Chaitanya said, please tell me something more. Then he explained Dasya Ras. This Dasya Bhava is complete surrender to Krishna in the mood of master and servant. And then he explained the Sakya Bhava. In Goloka Vrindavan, how you can be Krishna's friend on an equal level. And beyond that is Vatsalya Bhava. To love Krishna as a superior, like a parent. And beyond that, Lord Chaitanya asked him, please go further. And then he explained the Madhurya Ras of conjugal love. In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to understand the nature of this Madhurya Ras. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains it in very beautiful detail in this chapter 4 of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the Madhurya Ras, there is the queens of Dwarka. There are the consorts of Vaikuntha. They have this Aishwarya, or love, in a spirit of seeing Krishna as the majestic supreme enjoyer. They have realization of him as the supreme personality of Godhead. But the gopis of Vrindavan, their love is so elevated and so deep that Krishna, he reciprocates with the nature of their love in such a way that he hides his own supreme position. And they simply love him as a lover. And their love is completely selfless. Krishna's pleasure is the all-in-all in their lives. Thus, they are supreme in their consciousness of renunciation. They are willing to leave behind everything and anything for the service of Krishna, never ever even considering their own welfare, their own happiness. That is the gopi's love. When Krishna played upon his flute under Bamsibat tree, the fifth note of his flute was calling the gopis to come to please him. And they left everything. Their families, their duties, their reputations, without consideration for even a moment, they left everything. Not to enjoy, but to be enjoyed by Krishna. That is gopis. And Krishna tells gopis that you have defeated me. Krishna says in Gita, Yeya tamam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham mamavart manavartanti manushya parata saravasha. Krishna says, as you surrender to me, I will reveal myself accordingly to you. Yes, Krishna will reciprocate with the nature of our love. But when the gopis came before Krishna, Krishna said, my promise in Gita has become inactive. I have no power to reciprocate with your love. Your love for me is so pure that I cannot properly reciprocate and repay you with everything I have, even an entire lifetime of Brahma. You have left everything just for my satisfaction. Let your own devotion be the compensation. What a wonderful experience Srimad Bhagavatam has given us here. The selfless, pure, unmotivated love of the gopis has made Krishna an eternal debtor. He feels himself in debt, unable to repay the love of gopis. And of all gopis, Srimati Radharani is topmost. The Padma Purana describes there is 18,000 gopis, of which 108 are best, of which 8 are best, of which 2 are best, Chandravali and Srimati Radharani. And of the two, Srimati Radharani is supreme. She is that Ladini Shakti. She is like the creeper of the tree of Krishna. The creeper has no desire to enjoy anything of itself, simply offering its flowers for the pleasure of the beloved. So to understand who Srimati Radharani is a very, very great and deep science. The essence of the Ladini Shakti is prema, or pure love. The essence of prema is mahabhav, the highest, deepest manifestation of ecstatic love. And Srimati Radharani is the personification of that mahabhav. She is Madan Mohan Mohini, the power of love is revealed in this sense, that Krishna is Madan Mohan. He conquers even Cupid, and it is this Cupid Kamdev that conquers the entire creation. Who can defend themselves against Cupid? Madanter in Vrindavan. Cupid came to test Krishna. He aimed his bow and arrow at Krishna, and those arrows are very, very difficult to withstand. We have been victimized and defeated by these arrows since time immemorial. But just as he aimed and saw the beautiful threefold bending form of Krishna, Kamadev fell unconscious. Therefore, Krishna is Madan Mohan. He conquered even the conqueror. But Krishna's greatest happiness is being conquered by the love of his devotee. And Srimati Radharani is the supreme devotee. She is the supreme reservoir of all spiritual love. And as we are part and parcel of Krishna in tattva, whatever devotion exists in this heart of the jivatma, whatever love and devotion exists anywhere in all material and spiritual worlds, it is all part and parcel of Srimati Radharani's love. Krishna is conquered by the love of his devotee. Why? Because that love is a part of Srimati Radharani's love. This is the supremely exalted position. And today, being Radhashtami, we are approaching that compassionate aspect of the Absolute Supreme. Because love, Srimati Radharani's love toward Krishna, is absolute and complete and ever increasing. In fact, Krishna, he declares in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that Radharani's happiness is tens of millions of times greater than mine in her love for me. And my beautiful form, it is supreme. But Srimati Radharani's heart is like a perfectly pure, clean mirror. And when that mirror reflects the beauty of my form, it causes my beauty to increase unlimitedly. What is it that she sees and what is it that she feels when she serves me? What is the happiness she derives in her love for me? Vedaham samatitani varatamanani chajuna babashani chabutini mamtu vedana kashtana. Krishna knows everything, past, present, future. He knows all living beings. But this is the one thing he does not know: the nature of the ecstatic love of Sri Radharani. Krishna is thinking that the nature of her love, when she hears the sound of my flute completely captivates the entire creation of the spiritual world. But the sweet sound of her voice captivates my heart. When she glances upon me, Prabodhananda Saraswati says, what happens? His flute falls from his hands. And his crown with the peacock feather falls from his head. And he doesn't even know it. Why? Because of the nature of her love. Krishna says, when she sees the tamal tree, she remembers me and embraces the tree. When she smells the fragrance of my body in the air, she just tries to jump and merge into the air. Srimati Radharani, her total existence is absorbed for the pleasure of Krishna. And gopis and Radharani, they want no satisfaction for themselves. Prabhupada explains, this is a great contradiction. If you want anything for yourself, you can't be happy. Not really happy. When you want no happiness for yourself, when all of your energies and all of your desires are for Krishna's happiness, then Krishna reciprocates and gives you supreme happiness. Hare Krishna. If you want to be happy, you have to not want to be happy. That's all. As long as you want to be happy, you're going to suffer. Even if you want to enjoy spiritual life, you'll be frustrated. This is the level of the gopis' love. To the extent you're willing to suffer, you're willing to lose everything, and you're willing to even die for the pleasure of Krishna, to that extent you will feel ecstatic bliss. Devotees don't even want bliss. They get it anyway. It's forced upon them. That's Krishna. What other religion teaches like this? Daruka, he was fanning Krishna and he was feeling ecstasy seeing the beauty of Krishna. And therefore his eyes were filling with tears and he was cursing his ecstasies. He was praying that they go away because they were interfering his service. And Srimati Radharani, when she's serving Krishna and her heart is pulsating in ecstasy and her eyes are filled with tears and her limbs are trembling, she thinks, I can't serve Krishna nicely in this way. Let all these ecstasies go away. I don't care about happiness. I don't care about bliss. My life is for Krishna's happiness. So devotees care nothing for their own satisfaction. They only want to please Krishna. But Krishna forces bliss upon them. Harivar. He gives them happiness. Why? Because he feels happiness when they're happy. And the more the devotee's happy, the more Krishna becomes happy. And the more Krishna's happy, the more devotees, they don't want happiness, but when they see Krishna's happy, they become happy. So this is the competition of the spiritual world. Krishna's greatest happiness is to see his devotees' happiness, and the devotees' only happiness is to see Krishna's happiness. In this way, the love is ever increasing. In the spiritual world of Goloka, every living being, everyone, their ultimate happiness is simply to see Radha and Krishna enjoy together. In our Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, we are not concerned with being with Krishna. We simply want to be the servant of the servant of the servant. of those who are bringing Radha and Krishna together. Because what happiness can we give Krishna? If we really, sincerely are thinking of terms of Krishna satisfaction, then we'll want Radha Krishna to be together, because Sri Radharani gives the ultimate supreme satisfaction to Krishna. And we simply want, in whatever way the servants of the servants want us to assist in the happiness of Radha and Krishna's pastimes, that is the ultimate source of all of our desires to be fulfilled. This is the wonderful principle of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy. Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayora Dasa Dasa Danu Sanu Das. In this material world, people are envious. Sometimes I want to do it. I want the credit. But actually, if a superior Vaishnav can do something better for you than you, why not let that person do it? Why should we compete? Whatever gives the greatest pleasure to Krishna, to Guru, to Vaishnavas, that's what we should want. Shouldn't matter whether we do it or not. What should be matter is that the enjoyment is there. Yes? So this is the way the whole spiritual world is eternally going on. Everyone knows that Srimati Radharani gives the supreme most pleasure to Krishna. So no one is concerned with being with Krishna themselves. They all want to simply make beautiful arrangements for Radha and Krishna to enjoy. When that supreme love of Sri Radharani manifests toward the Jivatmas, it is supreme compassion. The compassionate energy of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is Srimati Radharani. Her compassion is to give everyone the highest realization and the ecstasies of knowing and loving Krishna. And by engaging everyone in her loving service to Krishna. So therefore, devotees approach Krishna by praying for the compassionate love of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, when we chant this Maha Mantra, we first address the supreme compassion of Srimati Radharani and beg her to engage us in her loving service to Sri Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is this compassionate nature of Srimati Radharani that we are very much concerned with. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Shri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima. The Krishna comes to this world to taste the sweetness of Radharani's love. In order to do so, Radha Bhavi Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. In order to taste the sweetness of Radharani's love, Krishna comes with the sentiments and the complexion of Srimati Radharani. That is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we find in Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wonderful Leela the supreme ecstasies. When he was dancing in the Ratha Yatra in Puri, he was manifesting the identical sentiments of Srimati Radharani when she met Krishna in Kurukshetra after years of separation, begging and pleading for him to return and place his lotus feet once again in Vrindavan. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced, the ecstatic symptoms that he exhibited were simply unparalleled within this entire material creation. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Gambira, his personal residence, surrounded by Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami, he was immersed in the ecstasies of the love of Sri Radha. Sometimes he was immersed in the love of Sri Radha that she exhibited when Uddhava came from Mathura to deliver the message from Krishna. The ecstasies of separation. Srila Prabhupada emphasized greatly that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu experienced the ecstasies of Radharani's separation from Krishna. That was the prominence of his love. Love and separation. And similarly, he empowered the six Goswamis in the same way. He Radhe Brajadeva Ke Chalalite He Nanda Shuno Kataha. In the feelings of deep, deep, profound spiritual separation, the six Goswamis were always looking for Radha and Krishna. So yes, Krishna fulfilled his innermost heart's desire in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He tasted the fullness of the sweetness of Radharani's love. And Prabhupada explains here that in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, although it is Krishna with the love of Radha, it is Radha and Krishna in one form, the prominence of Lord Chaitanya is Srimati Radharani's feature of ecstatic love. But Radharani did something else. Besides sharing her ecstatic love with Krishna in the form of Lord Chaitanya, she also shared it with all living entities within the universe. The supreme, most compassionate nature of Radharani is manifested in Lord Chaitanya by giving spontaneous loving service through the propagation of Harinam and Kirtan. Lord Chaitanya gave us Shikshastakam. Shikshastakam is Radharani's prayers. Nadanam nadjanam nasundarim kavitam vaja kadisha kamayai mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhaktirohayit kifai. I do not want wealth. I do not want fame or beautiful men or women. I do not want to be a great scholar. I do not want liberation from suffering. I only want unconditional devotional service, birth after birth after birth. She's praying just to be a particle of dust on Krishna's lotus feet. She's praying to feel ecstasy when she chants Krishna's names. She declares, Sunyayatam Jagat Saravam Govinda Virahename. Bereft of the sight of Govinda, the entire creation is a
void.
And Krishna, I am your service unconditionally. You can trample on me, you can embrace me, you can make me brokenhearted by not being present before you. You have any right to deal with me in any way you please because I'm your servant. In Shikshastakam, Srimati Radharani is revealing the path of ultimate perfection that we can all achieve by simply chanting the holy names of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is giving what no other incarnation has ever given. Rupa Goswami explained, Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gaudatveshe Namaha. You're more merciful, more magnanimous than any other incarnation, even Krishna. Because in the compassionate spirit of Radharani's heart, Krishna is sharing, or let us say Lord Chaitanya is sharing Radharani's love with the whole world. Supreme compassion. Without considering who is fit or unfit. Other avatars, they gave us love in a spirit of reverence to the Absolute. But Radharani, in Lord Chaitanya, is giving the spontaneous love of the residents of Vrindavan freely. In the age of Kali, every Kali Yuga, the Yuga Avatar comes to preach the Harinam Sankirtan movement. But once in a day of Brahma, Krishna comes with the compassionate love of Srimati Radharani and gives, through Harinam Sankirtan, entrance into the spontaneous, intimate, loving affairs of Vrindavan. And it is this most rare and precious gift of magnanimity that His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada has bestowed upon all of us. We are being given the chance, the opportunity to just receive this gift, to reciprocate with this mercy. And that is what this day of Radhastami means to all of us. Just as of all trees, the Kadamba tree is most dear to Krishna. Why? Because the beautiful golden fragrant flowers of the Kadamba tree gives him remembrance of Srimati Radharani's love. And of all bodies of water, Radha Kund is Krishna's favorite. Why? Because Radha Kund is the ambrosial love of Srimati Radharani in liquid form. Therefore, it is Krishna's most favorite bathing place. It is as dear to him as Radharani. Just as Krishna left all other gopis during the Sarat Ras Lila to be alone with his favorite most, Srimati Radharani. Similarly, of all days, Krishna's favorite day is Radhastami. Because it is the day where all over the world devotees are recognizing and celebrating the supreme love and mercy of Srimati Radharani by chanting the holy name. What time is Abhishekam? Huh? So you should not take such risks. Huh? Just now? Okay. The exact time of Srimati Radharani's appearance is 12 o'clock. So it is just now time for Abhishekam of Srisri Radha Gopinath. I'd like to speak very briefly about the appearance of Srimati Radharani, or should I speak this evening? Anyways, I'll speak something. Suchandra and Kalabati, they performed tapasya for 10,000 years, just eating dry leaves that fell from trees and worshipping the Lord with all of their hearts. And Lord Brahma appeared to them and offered them any benediction. They did not ask for anything for themselves. Their only desire was to serve the Supreme Goddess of Fortune as her mother and father. So Lord Brahma bestowed that benediction upon them. And Suchandra became Brishabhanu, and Kalabati became Kirtida Devi. They lived in Barsana of Brajbhumi. In fact, Lord Brahma prepared, he wanted to assist himself. Lord Brahma is the Supreme Father and Guru of the universe. But to take the most humble position in the service of Sri Radha and Krishna and their devotees, he incarnated in Barsana, where there are four hills, which are his four heads. So that Brishabhanu, Kirtita, all the gopis and the gopas, and their maidservants and servants of the maidservants would all walk on the top of his heads. This is the aspiration of Lord Brahma. He has the longest life, 311 trillion years, yes? And we're praying for long life. He has such immense wealth and power, huge family. But what is his aspiration? To take such a humble service that all the devotees are just running on his head, putting the dust of their feet on his head. Ah, that is Barsana. So Brishabhanu Kirtita had no... They had a son named Sridhama. But still, it was their longing to have a daughter. They would go regularly to Kamyavan, and there is a deity, Kameshwar Mahadev. And they would worship Lord Mahadev in that form with the desire to serve the Supreme Goddess of Fortune as their daughter. They didn't know she would be the Supreme Goddess of Fortune. They simply wanted a daughter. Why? It was the love of their heart.
And it is explained that on this day, Vrishabhanu actually, meanwhile, in Nandagaon, Parjanya, the father of Nanda Maharaj, was performing great tapasya for Nanda Maharaj to have son. We discussed this on Janmashtami day. And Nanda Maharaj decided to move to Gokul Mahavan to be close to Yamuna with hopes that it would be a more auspicious place to have a son. So Vrishabhanu Maharaj, always wanting to be near the Braj of Nanda Maharaj, moved to a place called Mukhya Ravali. And one day Vrishabhanu went to Yamuna to take his bath. And he saw a very beautiful golden lotus flower. And there was some very pleasing, ecstatic, brilliant light emanating from that lotus flower. He came close and he saw the most lovely embodiment of all beauty, in the form of a baby child. Lord Brahma appeared and picked up that beautiful, effulgent, golden child and put her in the arms of Vrishabhanu Maharaj and told him the truth. It was Srimati Radharani. Vrishabhanu Maharaj took her to his palace in Mukhya Ravali. But although there was great joy, there was also a sadness, because this child refused to open her eyes. She wouldn't acknowledge any sound, and not a single sound came out of her mouth. Was she blind, deaf, and dumb? This was of great concern. Some days passed, and Narada Muni, he was very eager to find Srimati Radharani, because there was the Nandotsav in Mahavan, where this birth ceremony of Krishna was celebrated. So Narada Muni understood that Srimati Radharani must have appeared somewhere in Braj. So he was searching. And he came to the house of Vrishabhanu Maharaj. And he asked if he could see his daughter. Vrishabhanu Maharaj was thinking that if Narada Muni blesses her, maybe she will see and she will speak. So he brought Narada Muni before the little baby child, Sri Radhika. And Narada Muni told everyone to leave the room. He wanted to be alone with her. When everyone departed, and the room was closed, Narada Muni offered his surrendered heart and soul to the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, began to circumambulate her and offer her prayers. And in reciprocation to his love, Srimati Radharani manifested her beautiful eternal form as Kishori, resplendent, the ocean of love. Narada Muni fell unconscious, seeing the eternal Swarup of Sri Radhika. And she blessed him. She blessed him with her merciful, compassionate glance and infused his heart with love.
He was besides himself, exhibiting all ecstatic symptoms along with Srimati Radharani. He saw her most confidential associates in this beautiful darshan, and she blessed him. Then she resumed her little form as a baby, and Narada Muni was in ecstasy, offering obeisances, pradandavats again and again and again, and chanting beautiful hymns and prayers and weeping and crying. And what's happening? The Vrishabhanu and others came in, and Narada Muni composed himself. "Very, you have very nice daughter. You should have a very nice ceremony for her birth. Have nice festival. Invite Nanda Maharaj and others." So in Narada Muni's instructions, they invited Nanda Maharaj from Mahavan and others to come. And it was on that day we see this beautiful, beautiful pastime exhibited in our temple today, where Srimati Radharani is sitting in her cradle and Gopal only about 15 days old. He crawls over to the cradle and she climbs up. And when Srimati Radharani feels the presence of her Gopal, her eyes open wide. And the first sight of her life was the smiling face of her beloved Shamsundar. And from her mouth, she praised the sweetness of her, the first sound of her ecstatic love for Krishna came out. So this is Srimati Radharani's appearance. She appeared exclusively only for the service of Krishna. She didn't want to see anything in this world except Krishna. That is bhakti. Anya bilashita sunyam jnana karmanya navakam anukulyena krishna nushchilanam bhaktirutama. Sri Rupa Goswami, he taught us the process by which we can develop our love, our pure spiritual love. Anya bilashita sunyam. Devotional service should be without any selfish material motivation. Jnana karma nivadana. We should be without any desire for fruitive actions, for sense gratification, any desire even for liberation. No tinge of fruitive activities or mental speculation. Should be unconditional, only for the pleasure of Krishna. And devotional service should be performed in such a way that it is favorable to Krishna's satisfaction. That is the path of perfection. And that is what we should be praying at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani for on this holy day of Radhastami. Pure devotional service free of any ulterior motive. No desire for sense gratification, no desire for mystic powers, no desire for liberation. Only desire to please Krishna. It is that gift that Srimati Radharani will easily bestow upon anyone who sincerely asks that of her. She is the original guru, teaching us the highest platform of love. And through the mercy of the spiritual master, when she sees that we are receiving her mercy through the Vaishnavas and the Guru. Then our life is perfect. So let us offer this prayer on the day of Radhastami. On other days, there's Ganesh Chaturthi and there's Durga Puja, so many things people ask. But Radhastami, there's only one prayer that's accepted by Srimati Radharani. She will not hear anything else. If you want anything else, you should have done it on one of the other days. Radhastami, there's only one prayer that Radharani accepts. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vaja gadisha kamaye mama janamani janamanishwari bhavatad bhakti radhvaitiki tvai. Unconditional love. And when she sees that is our aspiration, by her causeless compassion, she will bring us up to be one of her own maidservants. We don't have to try for it. All we have to do is please her, and she will bestow her mercy upon us. Prabhupada said, Krishna is always conquered by Radha's love. If Radharani tells Krishna that this is a good devotee, in fact, Prabhupada says, if we just serve Guru and Vaishnavas nicely, Radharani will tell Krishna. If we're chanting the holy name attentively and sincerely, Radharani will tell Krishna that this devotee is better than me. Please accept him. And Krishna cannot refer. He cannot. He has no power to refuse her request. So let us pray to aspire only for this unconditional devotional service. And help our Guru Maharaj in Sri Radharani's service by spreading this love of Vrindavan to the world through the loud chanting of the holy name. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai, Sri Radharani ki Jai, Gau Premanande.